What's Cooking? Supported by Auckland art gallery Toyo Tamaki. Become a member today for great art benefits.
We should have online Marlon Williams.
Hello.
Kia ora, mate. How's it going?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Not bad, not bad. We low-key have already done this off air.
Yeah.
But
I know.
It's nice to do it again, so make it official.
We also just learned that you're actually in Kingsland at the moment.
I am in Kingsland, yep. Yep.
Are you on 1, 3, 2 or 4 Street?
Well, 3.
Are you really?
Are you on 3rd Street?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
I used to live on 3rd Street. What
is
number?
Is that actually a thing? I just said
oh, really?
one of the options.
Yeah, just off the main drag there. It's 1st, 2nd and 3rd and 4th.
Really?
They got lazy. Yeah. They got a little bit lazy in Kingsland.
That's some New York stuff. That's cool.
Now
New
you're
York, Kingsland.
You're actually up in Auckland practicing because you're playing at Nesfest on Saturday down the Hawke's Bay. It's been a while since you've been out and played a big live show like that, Marlon.
Totally, yeah. I mean, it's the last day I was playing a festival. Kobe Bryant died, that was January 2020. So here we are, like pretty much to the day, 2 years later. With another festival, and very, very happy and grateful to be able to have it.
Mm-hmm.
As you were saying off air, that have you basically just assembled the crew recently, or are you just getting the set?
Yeah, No, I wasn't able to bring my band over from Australia, so I've been doing a lot of due diligence with some wonderful players here in New Zealand, and then it's sad not being able to have the Airbenders here, but wonderful to be playing a festival and to be playing it with new people. It's fun.
How do you go about doing that? Do you have like a little kind of wish
list? Oh, I got some mates.
No doubt.
it's New Zealand's wonderful like that. You can just, there's always good people who play wonderful things.
Right on.
Just hanging out, and no one's, not many people are busy at the moment. So
yeah, exactly. Everyone would be pretty keen.
Yeah. Now, we've actually got you on the line to do some guest selecting to tie in with our weekly guest selection.
Thanks
feature.
To the Auckland Art Gallery.
Yeah, cheers, Auckland Art Gallery.
Can I say that?
Thank you.
what do you want to start with and why?
Well, what have you got queued up first?
Is it the Roaches?
The Roaches.
Roaches?
The Roaches, yeah. Yep. So this song, the Hammond song, it's a song that's sort of been in and around my world since I was a late teen, and it's like the Roaches are an incredible like East Coast kind of Greenwich Village scene. I think from Boston, but they were the incredible sort of just powerhouse of harmonies and songwriting in the 70s and 80s and 90s, and they're just this track's just got all of my favorite bits in it. It's delicious.
Sweet.
In my opinion.
Roaches with Hammond song, as selected by Marlon Williams, on the line from Kingsland.
I think there was a line in there about telling kids to stay in school, even. And then a little fuzz solo. That song's got everything.
It's got it all. Two key changes.
Yeah, a lot of searing harmonies.
Yeah, that's my jam. It's like the Manhattan Transfer, but from Greenwich Village. I love it.
Where did you get a taste for music like that, Marlon? Who's credited for that? An elder in your life? Or?
Yeah, I mean, definitely a lot of it came from Dad. I think that one came from a girlfriend in high school.
Mm.
The Roaches, yeah.
Nice. Did you keep that CD kind of thing?
Yeah, it's one of those scenarios. Yeah.
And now, off air, I had a quick chat to you, Marlon, about this big, massive tour through Europe, which is penciled in with Lord, obviously pending a few factors. That must be pretty exciting to be looking at playing some whopping huge shows, fingers crossed.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something I'm looking forward to and hoping that happens. But yeah, I'm very super grateful for being able to join that tour and as a solo artist and just see if I can woo some of the some of her wonderful fans over in Europe. Yeah.
Nice. Now, have you had much of a chance to check out the lineup that you're sharing the stage with, or the bill, the rest of the bill for Nesfest?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot of people I know on the lineup, and then there's a whole bunch of artists that I'm very curious to check out. I mean, I haven't been to a festival in 2 years, and there's plenty of wonderful sounding acts that I'm just looking forward to cruising around the grounds listening to.
You are planning to get out and have a bit of a mosey on site?
Oh, of course. Yeah. It's going to be novel again to walk around the festival grounds.
I suspect that there'll be quite a good fruit platter backstage as well, being down in the Hawke's Bay.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. It's all of these little externalities of that are regional and
it's bound to be
parochial to certain festivals.
It'll be ripping, right?
Surely.
What's the craziest kind of thing that you're seeing just backstage, sort of on offer?
Backstage.
obviously something.
Midgets and cooking.
My favorite thing is going to the Netherlands and there being seven different kinds of cheeses.
Yeah,
and they're all sweating, and you know that some of them are meant to be sweating.
Yeah.
But then some of them are I don't know
struggling.
if that ghosty fresh ghosty fellow is meant to be so sweaty.
Better check though.
Yeah, that's only one way to find out. Yeah.
Nice. No, good cheeses in Holland for sure. They know the fromage.
Damn. Yeah.
Where to now? We've got a few angles here. I see some crazy horses, Patea, Māori Club. Where do you want to go, mate?
Well, let's go to Crazy Horse, I reckon.
Yeah.
The song's it was written by Danny Whitten, who is the kind of Neil Young's 2CI and Crazy Horse for it's definitely for that first record, for Everybody Knows This Is Nowhere, and then he sort of had a hard life. He had arthritis and found that heroin was a pretty good remedy for arthritis. Mm. Died it before he was 30. But he wrote this song that later became a hit for Rod Stewart and Everything But the Girl, I think, had a hit with it too.
Wow.
Mm.
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
I'll grab that gag.
Stars in the sky don't nothing to you, they're a mirror. I don't want to talk about it, how you broke my heart. If I stay here just a little bit longer, if I stay here, won't you listen to my heart?
What a beaut. That's Crazy Horse with I Don't Want to Talk About It. We're on the line with Marlon Williams, thanks to the Auckland Art Gallery, and it's a little segment we call What's Cooking, basically where John and I get to sit back and listen to someone else select some tunes. Man of the hour, Marlon Williams.
Now, we got wind of a new Marlon Williams album out later this year. Where are you at with that? What's the deets?
Yeah, we're getting close. Yeah, we're not far off signing off and sending it off to be packaged.
Wow. What is that about? Yeah. So you're sort of in the mastering stage.
Indeed, yeah. Bit of mastering, bit of artwork. And then, yeah, and then we send it off into the ether and hope that this COVID-ridden world will send us back some records at some point.
True.
Where did you record it?
I recorded it a little bit around here and a little bit at the lab, and so in Auckland.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and sort of have been just sort of gradually moseying my way through it over the last year or so. Yeah.
How do you approach it? Is it themed at all, or what's the go?
Yeah, and I'm still preparing my papers for that.
Yeah, fair enough.
I haven't put my finger on it quite yet, so that remains to be seen.
Right on.
Now, did you use some of the players that you've called on for the band that you'll be taking in S-Fest?
I did. Yep. I've got the wonderful Cass Mitchell, who plays an incredible bass player, who plays with Tiny Ruins, most predominantly, but a lot of other acts. Also plays with Lady Hawk and the Vales.
Oh yeah.
So she's
got a busy day.
She'll be triple dipping. Yeah.
Far out, yeah.
Yep. She's the pro. She's a pro.
Wow.
And then I've got Dave Kahn, who plays in the Arabenders with me normally, so it's nice to have that familiarity.
Mm.
And then Mark Perkins, who plays under Merck. And then Paul Taylor, who's spent a lot of his time in LA, is playing drums with me. So yeah, there's a nice cute little five piece for the festival. Yeah.
Excellent.
Will you be playing any of the new songs that you've been working on, kind of just testing them out, or?
Yeah, we'll try and slip a couple in. Trojan horse a couple of newbies into the set. Yeah.
Nice to see how people will react, right?
Yeah, well, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe nice to see.
I think I've sort of a fond memory of watching you at Laneway over in like the middle of Albert Park, and you were just nailing it, and there was like a little trumpet and shit.
Yeah.
I was steamed. Oh, I was cool. Totally steamed, and it was awesome.
I'll chime in as well and say that was actually my favorite, part of the day on that particular Laneway. I was like, wow, this is really bloody good.
Yeah, we were really wandering. Nice thing,
yeah.
It was the last gig that the Arabenders and I played together and was one of the best we'd ever played, and it felt like that, so that's really nice to hear that.
Perfect.
That it wasn't, we're in just in our own little world.
Yeah, it's great actually, that's good, it confirms that I was somewhat.
Oh, it was a good one. Yeah, I was sound of mind.
It wasn't just me that was great.
Yeah.
Now, what would you like to play next? What would you like to select for us?
Oh, I'm in the mood for a bit of Jessica Pratt, I think.
Funny story, I saw her at Golden Dawn a few years ago now. Like 7 years ago.
I wondered if she'd made it over here.
Yeah. Nuggety.
Yeah. It was like $10.
Oh my god.
Good old
Golden Dawn
Matthew
was so
Crawley.
Good for that, eh?
$10, yeah. 10 people.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah. That's the I bet some of the best gigs in human history have gone down at that.
Totally. A friend of ours actually just sort of posted a picture of like a gig poster, and it was just littered with wicked DJs and gigs and stuff, and they always had really nice, really good posters as well. The poster game was quite strong, even for like a Wednesday show or something. Everything was given the attention it deserved, and the fact that people that didn't even want to see the gig had to pay to get through to the bar, that was the genius of it, because then they were just exposed to weird shit and they were paying for it, you know. It's fucking great. Good gambit.
Jessica Pratt would have been an amazing set there, I can imagine.
Did she play this one, John? You can't remember. No, you were just
7
there.
Years ago, mate.
She'd probably just put this record out.
Yeah.
So
it might have been.
She may have played the song. This is a real, just like well put together song.
Brilliant. This is it's called Back Baby.
Sometimes I pray for rain. You know I try to see things from your side, to leave things undefined, but where would you advise? Let it generate a new design for the missing piece I have to disguise. Saw a paper with the header that your love is just a myth that you've asked. Like that you can never take back again. Things like that you can never take back again.
as your glass well that does ring. Oh, at times a frozen thing, it encloses you in its crystalline. Looks so lovely, but you'll have to decide. If you could play it in reverse and you'd find that you'd better reconsider all the love you took and then cast aside. Bad things like that you could never take back again. Things like that you could never take back again. If there was a time when you loved me, if there was a time when you said that you want me to believe.
Isn't that lovely?
Very much. Jessica Pratt with two T's there.
Pratt, yes.
Mm. Really get on there with the...
Now, is she Irish? That's sort of...
No, she's from Cali. She's a Cali girl.
Oh, California, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she's just got a interesting way of singing.
She sounds tiny.
Mm-hmm.
She sounds like some kind of... like an old-timey circus thing. Somebody just opens up a bag and just grabs this person out and puts them down. Like just a tiny little person.
She's an incredible human.
Rad.
Now, the forthcoming Marlon Williams album, how long before we hear or see a single?
Well, I don't know. It won't be long before the first single comes out, I'm sure.
Are you picking which one at the moment kind of thing?
Yeah, no, I think I've got that sussed. It's the when. It's the when and the how, but I think we're all set to go though, for sure.
Is there anything different you have to navigate given the climate that we're in and all the panic stations? Like,
I mean, it feels, you know, you only get so many sort of album releases in your life,
yeah.
So it feels different every time, regardless.
Right, right.
And so it's, you know, it's just you just sort of you're midstream and it's just. You're just navigating something new because it's a new record anyway, and so.
Mm.
But yeah, but definitely there are some like boring practical delays, just to shipping and bits and pieces.
If you're
like
waiting to like release it at the same time as the vinyl, especially like trying to get vinyl from overseas or Switzerland or wherever the hell you're getting it from, you know?
Exactly. Especially now, Adele's sort of monopolized the world's.
She's the new Beyonce.
Hey, are you sort of doing any more TV/film appearances in the near future? Is there anything?
Yeah, there's bits and bobs coming up. I actually don't know if I'm at liberty to talk about them.
Okay, all right. But I mean, this was a while ago now, but what was it like to sort of appear in a gigantic blockbuster of a film?
Yeah, just bizarre, you know, it's the same... I guess it's, you know, it's like, yeah, what's it like putting out an album in a pandemic? It's like, I don't know, it's there's just weird adventures to be had along the way. So, yeah, I only spent, two or three days in Hollywood and just sort of got fully immersed in that world and then got back on tour again.
Is it more about just like making sure you've got the right people around you to sort of navigate you through that stuff? Because you can't know everything about how it all runs and stuff. You just trust that you've got the right people going, yeah, dude, do that and it'll be kick ass. And you're like, okay, cool.
I'm infinitely trustful.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah. So you can't know everything, eh? Like, I think a lot of people like to go around trying to figure everything out before they do it, but it's like, you're better off just kind of like fumbling through it.
Yeah. You know? I think there's a sweet spot somewhere in the middle, but yeah. Like most things, but
yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely a coaster.
Yeah.
For sure. Nice.
Now, Marlon, should we play another tune?
Yeah, maybe some Bjork.
True.
Seems like a good move from there. I grew up very much listening to Bjork, like most days of my life. My mother was
out of it.
A huge Bjork fan. And I've just recently, Bjork can sort of, she's put out so many incredible, strange albums that you can sort of become a little bit desensitized, I think. And people suffer from that. I suffered from it with her. But then, just in the last couple of years, I've just been revisiting her back catalogue and just going...
You can go right back too. God. Like when she was like in that band...
Before,
she's just a little kid. There's some fucking good songs there, eh? Like,
I know. She's been at it for a long time.
Yeah.
But for me, still, Debut is like my favorite record of hers, her first solo album, which this song "Come to Me" is from. And there's a lot of songs called. I've got a song called "Come to Me." There's a Bjork song called "Come to Me." There's a lot of Jesus was the original that I know of who said "Come to Me," but yeah, there's been a lot of "Come to Me's."
Didn't manage to get into the studio though, so.
No, well, you're stuck with me, but yeah. And then there's an Otis Redding "Come to Me." There's lots. But this is my favourite of all the "Come to Me's."
Sure.
Ha!
That's Bjork. Off air, John and I remembered that her early band was called the Sugar Cubes, I think.
That's the one. I think that's the one. Yep.
Also off air, we were talking about Marlon Williams' party mode.
Potential party mode for Marlon Williams.
Can you describe your party mode?
We feel like we got like a taste of it one time. You came in here and you had like a little sailor hat on, and we're like, shit, that's basically party mode. You were like the end boat. Of a long day of promotional stuff.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that. Yeah, I was full Love Boat.
Yeah, it was good.
Love Boat zone. Yeah, what's party mode? I don't know. I mean, I just, you know, yeah, I have a couple of little bloody savvies, yeah, whatever, and then things.
You're gonna be more pensive at Nesfest and then probably potential party afterwards, I'd say, because your first gig of the year type thing, first gig in a long time, like you say.
Is it the only gig of the year for you?
It's the only one so far. Yeah.
We'll
crazy. But yeah, I mean, it won't be, you know, it's a festival set. I've got to be party.
Yeah, fair enough. Have you got like, are you accepting headwear? Are you going to take your own kind of hat, or are you going to accept someone chuck something on stage? You'll wear it.
I'm gonna wear a culturally appropriate American Indian.
Oh, no.
just whatever throws me, man.
Also, I was thinking if you're wondering.
I won't wear that. I'm not going to wear that. I'm not going to wear that.
Let the record show you won't be wearing that shit, right?
If you're cruising around a festival site, do you kind of have to wear a disguise almost?
Just glasses, so there's no eye contact, so you can just keep cruising. You can see someone in the peripheral trying to do a hug or something. You just walk a bit faster.
The good thing about a festival set is that you can immediately go out and seek validation from the crowd. You know, and go around and like walk into people's groups with like a knowing smile.
Yeah,
and
hope yeah, that, yeah.
And then if they don't recognize you, then get really upset. Yeah. There's ways to make yourself feel pretty good.
Brilliant. I mean, I went to the last Nesfest and it was at a different venue and it was definitely good for a roam around. Not sure about this new spot. I'm sure it's fantastic from what I've seen of them assembling the site. Looks like a decent amount of shade, which is important. I mean, this time of year,
there's lots of little dinky little stages, which I'm into.
Nooks and crannies. That's right.
Nooks and crannies.
There you go. We've got the Patea Māori Club lined up, but we also just low-key have got this new track of yours, Mr. Bojangles cover.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we've just got that sort of sitting over here as well. I think I actually learnt this song on guitar when I was like 12 and totally forgot now. But
it's one of those songs that you can either play it with like two chords or like 63.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How should we roll this? Should we do the Patea and then?
I want to listen to the Patea one. I don't want to listen to me. I mean,
we'll sign off at the end of the Patea Māori Club.
Yes.
Why did you choose this?
I'm very grateful. Oh, the Patea Māori Club.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I you know, obviously Poie is the big tune. But I never really delved into the depths of delved into Delvanius's album he's put together, and you know, it's just such a cool record, and I think is just such a great sort of testament to sort of where the country was at that time, and I think there's just some, they're like this track Noi Noi is like. It's been the one that I've pumped out in my car when I've been driving around Banks Peninsula for the last few months at way too high volume.
Brilliant. All right, let's go.
Radio. This is WKTU, Radio New York City. Come on down to Times Square.
Tonight, live at Irving Plaza, New Zealand's Group of the Year, Dalvanius and Patea Māori in concert with the Violent Femmes. And here's their latest hit single. We'll be right back.
Powerful track.
Powerful track, innit?
Very nice.
Yeah, it's just such a jam.
You can see why you'd be blasting it out of a car window. I think people would accept that. That's acceptable.
Yeah, they bloody better.
Hey, tell us about, we might as well go out on this interesting situation here, the Mr. Bojangles cover.
Yeah.
How did this come about? It's for a French film, of all things. How French is the film as well, do you know?
It's very French, very French, yeah. On attendant Bojangles, yeah.
Yo.
Yeah, it sort of was a job that came up over the first lockdown. I was at home with Tom, my flatmate, and we got the call to do a version of Mr. Bojangles, and I'd sort of forgotten about that song, as I used to hear it, friends of mine used to play it at covers gigs around Christchurch, and then I forgot about it until I heard the Nina Simone version, but I'd been recently getting into that version, and then the opportunity to do a cover came up, and so yeah.
Are you singing in French?
No, God no. God no. No, the French, even when they make French films, they let the English stay the English a lot of the time.
Sweet.
Nice. Now, we're going to play this off the same computer that you're coming through, so we're going to have to cut you off, Marlon.
It's convenient because you don't want to hear it anyway.
That's really good for me, yeah.
We'll see you down at Nesfest, man. John and I will be down there.
Oh, awesome.
And
closing out the main stage at 10 p.m.
That's it. Come and check it out. What else are you doing?
Just John and I will just be passing to your music, pretty much. So keep it nice and romantic.
Sick, yep.
And we'll see you when we see you, man. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Sure.
Cheers, brother.
All right,
cheers.
Here we go.
New man Bojangles, and he danced for you in worn-out shoes, with silver hair, a ragged shirt, and baggy pants, the old soft shoe. He jumped so high, he jumped so high. Then he lightly touched down. I met him in his cell in New Orleans. I was down and out. He looked at me to be the eyes of age, as he spoke right out. He talked of life, he talked of life. He laughed, clicked heels and said, Mr. Bojangles, Mr. Bojangles, Mr. Bojangles, dance. He danced for those at minstrel shows and at county fairs throughout the South. He spoke with tears of 15 years how his dog and he traveled about. His dog up and died, he dust up and died. Still green. He said, I dance now at every chance in honky-tonks for drinks and tips. But most of the time I spend behind these county bars, and I drink a bit. He shook his head, and as he shook his head, I heard someone ask, please. Mr. Bojangles, Mr. Bojangles, Mr. Bojangles
Cooking, supported by Auckland Art Gallery Toyo Tamaki. Become a member today for great art benefits.